Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. We're turning for a few verses to Deuteronomy, and we're looking at chapter 9 and the verse 1. Now, the last time we were together, we were speaking of the fact that the Canaanite people were the most wicked people. Indeed, that's the reason that God was going to wipe them out using Israel as his instrument of judgment. They had brought this judgment on themselves. Hundreds of years of defying God was now meeting with this awful judgment. Boys and girls, the world has argued about this, sought to criticize God, sought to criticize Israel. Indeed, I, not too long ago, literally only days ago, received an email from some character. I don't know who he is, what he is, but every so often he sends me an email, and I can't get him to stop. But I don't read the emails, but I did read the headline of the email. That was unavoidable, because I had to look and see where this email was coming from, in case it was an email I wanted. And it was all about charging God with wickedness and cruelty, and Israel as well, because of what they had done on the Canaanite tribes. Well, that email just went into the trash right away and got scrapped. But boys and girls, what the world doesn't seem to realize, they don't want to realize, is that what happened to the Canaanite tribes is a warning. God's showing how he reacts to sin. And what will be the result in the end of defying God? Judgment. Now, the judgment that the Canaanite tribes met with, physical destruction on the battlefield, there's a greater judgment coming that all who defy God will encounter. When, as the Lord Jesus puts it, body and soul is cast into hell forever. And what happened to the Canaanite tribes was perfectly just. And it is a picture of what will happen to all who defy God. The record of it here is a mercy. It's a warning. It's a warning to all who have come since and who read this account in the Bible. This is what happens to sinners. Oh, that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we speak to you again and again and again and again and again, that we shall all likewise perish if we don't repent of our sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's read from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1, just putting before us again these truths. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, who were giants, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak. Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Don't you think that because you were somebody, you have received this blessing from the Lord? This is what the Savior is saying here. The Lord is saying this. Don't get carried away with notions of your own righteousness. No, that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then he goes on to tell us, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord hath driven them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Understand, therefore, that the Lord giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. How many times in that short little passage has God not underlined the fact that they're not going to get this land because of their own goodness, but he's doing it in keeping with the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also as a judgment against the wicked nations that presently occupy Canaan. And then the last little phrase that we read, God says to the Israelites, thou art a stiff-necked people. Stubborn. Stubborn. So, there's a whole lot of truths just reiterated, repeated, emphasized, and set before us. And as we continue our study of the conquest of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, we're learning, I hope, some lessons about the Christian conquering sin in their lives. Crossing of the Jordan, I have said, pictures a number of things, and what we're looking at now is the fact that it pictures our conversion. We leave the old world that we have been wandering about in for years, and now we're going into the promised land, and we're going to enjoy the bounty of God. But there's a battle. There's an enemy trying to keep us from the bounty of God. Rob us of the bounty of God. Resist us enjoying the bounty of God. And that's how it is within our hearts if we're saved. There's an old nature. And it's as if somebody was walking beside you every moment of the day. Just walking beside you and chittering away in your ear. Oh, don't do what you're told. No, here, look, here's a much better thing to do. You'll enjoy this far more. Don't listen to the teacher. Don't listen to your mum and dad. And as for the preacher, don't listen to him. That's the way the flesh works. It resists, it fights everything that is of God and tries to get you off the path of righteousness. Now, as I say, the last time we were talking, we were looking at the fact that Israel faced a wicked and a depraved enemy. We have no idea how wicked they were. In fact, they're so wicked, you know, God really does shield our eyes from the depravity that these nations were engaged in. Of course, it wasn't just these nations. Throughout the history of the world, we discover that other nations that knew not God, they did the same. The Greeks, their civilization, as they call it, descended into hell on earth. The Romans, the same. And it's happening before our eyes. Now, you're young. We're thankful that you don't see and hear all that's going on in the world. I'm glad I don't see and hear all that's going on in the world. But now and then, you get a little sound of it. It's like Halloween time. Now, here in Kilskerry, we're not plagued too much, but you can hear bangs and whistles and rockets going off a few miles away, and maybe something shooting up into the sky. You're not there in the middle of it all, but you can't help but see something of it. Well, that's how it is with us as Christians. We can't help but hear something of what's going on in the world and getting some idea of the wickedness that's taking place. You must avoid publication. You must avoid television programs that highlight these. Christian has to close their eyes to these. Pray that the Lord might help them not to behold iniquity. But I'm sure you older ones know that if you're just walking through Enniskillen and meeting others of your own age, just passing them on the street, you can't help but hear the filthy language. That's what they use every day. They didn't even notice that they're saying these things. But you do. And sometimes it's hard to get rid of the memory of what you've just heard. But you must pray the Lord will remove it from you. And certainly not repeat it. We cannot help, therefore, but see and hear something of the wickedness into which the world at the present time is descending, just like the Canaanite nations descended. And then God's judgment came, and it's going to come on this world. Personally, I don't think the world has much longer to last without God's judgment coming. Now, they're crossing over the Jordan. They're entering the land. And then there began a battle. And I have to tell you that it was a lengthy battle, and it was against a most cunning, crafty enemy. And again, I want you to remember, here's a picture of what it is the Christian has to face. A lengthy battle. You know, when they crossed over the Jordan, you remember the first place they came to was Jericho. And what a strange means God had them use to defeat Jericho. They marched round it. Number of days. Then there came the last day. And they marched again. And then they blew the trumpet. Gave a great shout. And the walls fell down. The soldiers, for they were right round the city, they just marched straight into the city. Nothing to hinder them. I want to tell you this. When it says the walls fell down, I don't believe it means the walls collapsed in a heap. For two reasons. One, if that happened, because these were enormous walls. The wall was at least as deep as this minor hall. In other words, you could have stood at this edge of the wall and looked down, and you could have walked across and looked then down into the city. And it was a huge wall. It wasn't just a wall like you have in the house, a block wide or so. And if that had fallen down, there would have been a mountain of rubble. In fact, there still would have been a wall of sorts. Not quite as neat and whatnot, but there would have been a great obstacle in the path of the soldiers. But the Bible says they walked straight in. So I don't think the walls just collapsed. You know what I believe? They sunk down straight into the ground. God made them to do that. I was reading this morning in my Bible reading where God reminded the children of Israel of how the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed two of the rebels who opposed Moses. Swallowed them and swallowed all their possessions and all their relatives. It just opened up and swallowed them. God can do that. And I believe God did that with the earth underneath the walls at Jericho. It opened up and the walls just sunk down and stopped sinking when the top of the wall reached the earth, the level ground. So you had a nice straight walk in. There's another reason I believe that that is what happened. You remember the woman Rahab? Do you remember the story about her? She had helped the spies, and she had said to them, please, when you come to take the city, because we know the Lord is going to take this city. We have heard what God has done, and how he has favored you, and you're his people, and we know you're going to destroy this city, but when you come, remember what I have done. And the spies gave her a scarlet thread that she was to hang out the window, so that when Israel attacked the city, they would know, oh, there's one place we're not to touch. That belongs to Rahab. And she believes in the Lord and has helped us. Now it says that her house was on the walls. Her house was built on the wall. Now if the walls had fallen down a heap, Rahab would have been killed. But if God sunk the walls down to the ground, her house would have just come down to the ground level and still have been intact. That's why I believe that's how the walls were destroyed. Might sound fantastic, but then our God, he does fantastic things. But though that victory, which was complete, destroyed the city and everybody in it, and the whole thing didn't last too long, and there was no loss to Israel, and it was all over. But that was not the end of the war. That was not the end of the war. You know, when you first become a Christian, there is such grace and blessing given to you that victory over sin is easy. It's easy. You're so full of the joy of the Lord. You don't think of the old things you used to do. You don't desire the old things you used to do. And you find it easy. You find it easy. And you're full of joy and excitement. But it doesn't last. That is, the enemy, as it were, regroups. So it was in Israel. We'll be looking at that. That wasn't the land conquered. They'd conquered a city. They'd made great strides, wonderful progress. They saw what God could do. But that was not Canaan conquered. There was a long war yet to be fought. And that's how it is with the Christian. Sin doesn't give up. The old flesh, no matter how it's wounded, how it's broken, how it's smashed, will come back at you. It would like you to think that it's defeated and dead. Because if you begin to think, well, that's it, I'll never be bothered with the flesh again. Oh, then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. And you will stop being watchful, stop being on guard, stop watching out for temptation. You'll think, it's all right, I'm free of sin and the flesh, and not be facing it again. It's defeated. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves. We're always going to be facing sin. The Canaanite was always there, no matter how many times they were defeated. There were still some left to fight and resist. And there's a lesson, a vital lesson there for us. A vital lesson there for us. We leave it there today. When we come together again on Thursday, I'm going to be looking at an example of the craftiness of the enemy and how we can be deceived by sin. That will be our subject this coming Thursday. Let's bow in prayer. Every eye closed. Lord, bless the children. We thank thee for the obedience, the closing of the eyes when requested. O Lord, give obedience when thou dost command that they receive thee as their Saviour. Lord, may that be made possible for them by thy grace and power. Bless your word to every heart today, all that goes on in the school, answer prayer, and indeed, show your favour, Lord, in a special way. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.